Teddy Ruxpin, anybody know what Teddy Ruxpin is? All right, what is it?
It goes along with, there's like a book that you read and it.
It's a little teddy bear that talks back to you, and you know, and it's got a cassette. This is actually I don't know whether this is actually the same kid who was in the PB&J picture or not. It kind of looks like him. So it's got a cassette that you put in, right? This is an example of the way copyright law is used for lockdown in a way that maybe doesn't actually feel quite right. There are lots of other examples in the chapter of the book on copyright, which you ought to be reading this week. I'm going to try not to repeat those examples. But so there's the cassette, and you put it in, and it reads a story, and you can read back to it or something like that. And of course, what happened was there's the Teddy Ruxpin. Tape, but people started producing their own audio tapes and putting them into the Teddy Ruxpin teddy bear, right? You see where this is going? And of course, that's a form of piracy because the teddy bear company alleged that that people were creating derivative works based on Teddy Ruxpin reading your story rather than their story. Okay, I think they actually prevailed in that case. So there are lots of these examples where the copyright law is used to lock down something bigger than might be obvious was appropriate. So no plugging anybody, anything except the Teddy Ruxpin brand name audio tapes into a Teddy Ruxpin teddy bear, because as soon as you do it, you're violating their copyright. Here's the original copyright statute from 1790, I think it is, signed by George Washington. And the interesting part about this is this clause right here, well, there's two things. The first is, and it's a little too hard to read, but here it says, an act for the enhancement of learning, which is the rationale behind the Copyright Act in the first place. Remember Darton's description of the Republic of Letters, that this was going to provide people an incentive for writing and therefore increase the general wealth of human understanding. But the other one is down here, maps, charts, book, or books, for the term of 14 years from the recording the title thereof in the clerk's office, who used to be until, as I say, 1978, you actually had to register your copyright. 14 years was the original copyright term, and it's now, what is it now? Lifetime plus 70. Lifetime plus 70, right? So it's a lot longer than 14 years. It was actually originally it was originally 14 years, and then I think it says later on it can be renewed for one additional 14-year term. So here's the most recent Copyright Extension Act of 1978, I believe. This title may be referred to as the Sonny Bono Copyright Term Extension Act. He was the congressman at the time it was filed, and this was in 1978. Strike the word 50, insert 70, strike the word 50, insert 70, and so on. Here's been the progress of copyright terms since 1790. Started at 28 years, and it kept on going up by 1 year at a time for a long time, right? And then it got, it's an interesting pattern, actually, if you look at this. 1965, 61, 1967, 62, 1968, 63, 1969, 64. It's like they're moving the goalpost back 1 year per year. 1970, 65, 1971, 66, 1972, 68. 2 years later, it goes up by another 2 years. 1976, they said, heck with that. Lifetime plus 50. And then 22 years later, they add another 20 years. What's going on here? You know what's going on here? Mickey! This is all Mickey Mouse! Every time Mickey Mouse is about to pass into the public domain, Congress extends the term of copyright. You don't believe me? Okay, so this is also known as this last one, the 98, the 70, I forget which of these two people call the Mickey Mouse Copyright Extension Act, but that's what it is. So Mickey's still protected for a while, in spite of the fact, by the way, that Steamboat Willie was actually ripped off from somebody else. There was another dancing mouse of some kind in an animation at the time that Disney actually made the original Steamboat Willie cartoon.